Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Thursday. Congrats, grads, to all the grads who graduated to the latter half of the week.
Except not to the graduates who are maybe potentially terrorists.
Yeah, definitely not congrats to those grads, but to the grads. By the way, do you know what they call that on TikTok? Like talking like that? Like they call it a crispy R.
Where you like. Say it again.
Congrats. Now, by the way, now that I called it out, like I won't be able to do it. Congrats, grads. Like people who roll their R's in English.
But that's not a roll what you're doing. Like you're stopping it.
It's like guttural. No, I don't know what it is.
It's like a long R.
They call it like graham cracker.
Like that.
I kind of like it too. People on TikTok were saying it's like an ick and a trigger for them. But I don't know. Should I start including crispy R's into my everyday vernacular? I think as a podcaster, people might riot.
No, I think it fits in with our way of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like very Moira Rose energy.
Yes, that's a good example.
Dragging out a syllable that need not be dragged.
Yeah, very Moira Rose. That's a good, that need not be dragged by a bebe.
Exactly. So I'm here for it. You have my full support. Turdy Lou.
Honestly, I feel like the crispy R is really perfect for congrats grads, which has become a literal daily Yeah, perhaps.
It's become a cornerstone of the show. And we are getting into graduation season.
We are getting into congrats. See, I can't even say it.
I guess it's been a year since we congrats the grads in an earnest way.
No way has it been a whole year that we've been saying congrats grads. I don't think that it has. I don't think that when we started saying it, it was about graduation.
I believe that we made the title of the episode congrats grads. So let's just search in the podcast store.
If it's true that it's been a year, like truly time flies when you're having fun with your best friend and sister.
Turtle, a year almost to the day, May 5th, 2023, our episode was called Congrats Grads.
On Cinco de Mayo, my people's day.
So this is really graduation season. We are nothing if not consistent. That's like when you're on your time hop and you realize you wore the exact same outfit a year ago, which I'm the queen of.
I got rid of Time Hop. I love it as a concept, as an app, but as somebody with, you know, severe weight fluctuations, like I find it either makes me like depressed or I don't know. I don't like it. I don't need to know what I looked like a couple of years ago. Nobody else is like thinking about what I looked like. Why do I need to see it every day?
I've always been a Time Hop lover.
Me too.
A Time Hop philiac. But with kids, it's even more fun.
Oh, that's true.
I don't miss a hop. And I always, you know, that little crazy nutty dinosaur who's like 1,000 hops in a row.
Yeah. He's nutty.
Get a life.
He's nutty as fuck. Like,
yeah, I love Time Hop. Also, I saw on Time Hop a lot of Toast Herstory happened this week to the day. One, I guess it was about 4 years ago at this point, I met Julianne Hough at the Billboard Music Awards.
Oh, that's a cornerstone moment of Toast Herstory.
And on the same day, years before that, we podcasted with Thomas Ravenel and Ashley Jacobs.
Oh, yes. Jackie sent me that picture yesterday letting me know that the anniversary was upon us of the day. Seriously, I feel like actually a lot of people who are still listening to the show found us through that interview. We had no idea what we were walking into in that moment. We just got like a PR email. Would you like to have new girly on Southern Charm on? She's dating Thomas. We were like, okay. And even when we did the interview, shit hadn't blown up on the show yet, but it was the only interview she ended up doing during her time on the show. And people just went back and referenced it. And they thought that like, there was a whole conspiracy about that interview because it was the only thing she did the entire time. It was just truly happenstance that it was ours. People thought we were like in on it, that we were a part of Tom. Like it was so crazy the amount of hate we got for that when seriously we were just doing our jobs.
Yeah, I don't remember the hate. I remember the love and how it really became like a big moment for us. We also didn't realize that she was coming
with
and
Thomas,
bringing Thomas, and then like Thomas ended up on the show with us.
Yep, we had no like, and if you were in the trenches during that season of Southern Charm, like you know how rare of a interview that was. We didn't know it at the time, like that we were stumbling upon this what would be like a time capsule.
Yeah, I guess that's what we're missing out on by not having guests. And certainly, even if the guests that we do have at this point, like we wouldn't be having like someone in their first season who's like coming on as a, but we used to just have guests pretty much on every show. At the end of the show, we do a little interview. So we're missing out on moments like that. I can live with it, but maybe I'm wrong for that.
And then we did end up, at least I did, getting blocked by Ashley. Do you remember how it went south? Because you're the memory here.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I wasn't like so invested in this saga. Like I felt like we did our part and I moved on. And then also like she was so awful to Catherine that I didn't really want any affiliation with her. I wasn't like proud that we had her on. That didn't age well.
Agreed.
You know, I ride or die for Catherine.
Yeah, no, and she was saying some really, really horrible things.
And on the seat, like the rest of the season. So like after that, I kind of like checked out from the interview.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was just sort of like a thing that we did.
Things we did?
That. So that's an iconic moment in Toast history. Thanks for bringing that up. Sometimes I do get reminded of like things that we've done on this show. Either like I'm like mortified, like me wearing my wedding veil to interview Derek Peth.
Hysterical.
But then I'm also like, holy shit, like seriously, we don't talk enough about Closed on Sunday. And it's, you know, obviously such a shame that Kanye is like this disgraced person. But the fact that it happened to us, I'm sorry, it's really sick.
It is. But I feel like that's actually something that we do talk about.
I'm so worried, like no one, like people, it's going to get forgotten that I bring it up like once a year.
Yeah, that is a crazy thing. Also, ¿dónde está Derek Peth?
You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up because wasn't he engaged?
Yeah. I hope that now he's married.
No, I feel like they broke up. I remember seeing that somewhere, but I was like over my Derek Peth obsession that like I didn't make it a story or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a lot
of family photos, a lot of family solo photos. I don't see. Okay. If I'm scrolling through your Instagram and the first 10 photos don't include your fiance, like you're not engaged.
No, he's not. But what's he doing? Does he have a podcast?
His bio just says human being. And I feel like that pretty much sums up what Derek Peth is up to.
And that sums up like why we're having a hard time assessing.
Wait, he like doesn't post. Hold on. His fifth most recent photo is from 2020. I mean, his most recent photo is June 2020. Is Derek Peth okay?
Guys, ¿dónde está Derek Peth?
No, I'm freaking out. I'll ask again. I'm just going to Google his name and like see what comes up. I hope he's okay. Wait, no, in 2022 he got married. Why would you have no?
He's off Instagram.
But you wouldn't even post about your wedding 2 years later.
Why don't you look her up?
Yeah, yeah, what's her name? Saffron. Okay, hold on, I'm on my way.
What's her name, Saffron?
S-A-F-F-R-O-N. Saffron. Is this her model? Yeah.
Yeah, she's a model.
Okay, it's just like modeling photos. Are they together? They got married 2 years ago, like, and give or take a few months.
I feel like there's a world in which they're together, but he has completely shunned social media and like doesn't want to be a part of this that online world anymore, especially Bachelor.
Like the last piece of like news written about him is the wedding.
Okay, but we've definitely stumbled into something here.
We definitely have. I don't see any photos of him on her Instagram.
I feel like a lot of Bachelor people and former Bachelor people listen to The Toast. So like if anybody keeps up with him and is friends with him, just like let us know. Just for our own curiosity.
No, I'm dying to know. Please reach out if you have any information about the whereabouts. Where in the world is Derek Peth?
Claude's fave.
My fave. I was obsessed with him. Like I used to think like when we were like really in the Bachelor space, like going to, you know, after the final rose and I was single, like I would have tried to have dated him. Like I seriously thought he was the most eligible person to ever come out of that show. And I also thought that Chase McNary had the most impressive thighs of anyone to come out of that show.
You still think that. But I do. You also don't really watch the show anymore. So there could be more impressive set of thighs
It's true.
Those were good times.
Those were good times. The evolution of Jackson Turd. It truly knows no bounds.
Knows no bounds. But speaking of our new passions, it used to be The Bachelor. Now, amongst other things, it's reading. Two things I want to mention. One, the new episode of The Redheads dropped this morning, and you absolutely have to listen to it, even if you didn't read the book, and kind of like, especially if you didn't read the book. But if you did read the book, I apologize, and you absolutely, like, this episode is your consolation prize. Second thing, you went to a big swanky New York event last night.
Oh my God, I did. There's so much on my mind and like nothing's going on. I totally forgot that I left the house last night, which is not something I really do on a weeknight. I did. Okay, so this kind of major doctor who we've actually had the opportunity to interview here at The Toast, Dr. Nathan Fox, who is the most precious gem of a man, who is so smart and who was Jackie's doctor during her most recent very complicated pregnancy, ended up co-authoring a book about complicated pregnancies with Emily Oster, who I obviously didn't know prior because I'm not like, you know, a woman of that phase yet.
Yeah.
But apparently once she's like super major.
She's the name. Like she's the book, her book, What to Expect, not What to Expect, Expecting Better. by Emily Oster is like the first book that you would read. It's the only book I read on pregnancy when I was pregnant. And so she's just like a major fixture. And she co-authored her third book with Dr. Fox, who we all know here.
And the whole book is about either really complicated, really common or super rare pregnancy complications. And there's so little data and so little information. And like this book is like the first step in, you know, normalizing that conversation, because once it's talked about more, there's better care, there's more laws, there's more money. Like they were talking all about data, data, data.
And Dr. She's a data girly.
She's a professor.
And she was an economist and she got pregnant and she wanted like to know about pregnancy, just things like, can you have sushi? Can you color your hair? And so she like looked at all the data and came to these conclusions that some of the things that we think like are not necessarily always the case, in fact, rarely the case.
The vibe that I was getting
was that. That's why she wrote her first book.
The vibe that I was getting, like based on the speeches, was like, she's kind of like the leading thought leader that like pregnant women can eat sushi. She like kept making jokes about that. I was like, oh, okay, cute, cute, cute.
Yeah.
But it was so fabulous because, you know, we love Dr. Fox and all of his kids. They were at the toast party. So like I went to their party. They went to our party. It was just kind of like an exchanging of parties. And he made a little speech. It was so cute. And then like he's very humble, you know, so Emily Oster made a speech after and she was just like, she told this little story that like he won't sign books. He has the patients sign the books because like they're the real stars. He's so cute. Like it was
so cute.
And honestly, I was like, should I read this book? It sounded low key interesting.
I'm going to read it because I'm actually the target demo for it, because it's also about like people who have had complicated pregnancies. Like, what does that mean going forward?
And it was also like, I don't know if she said 1 in 3 or 1 in 5 women will have a complicated pregnancy. And so that's like, even if it's not you, it's like your mother, it's your sister, it's your friend, it's your daughter. Like, it was kind of like an empowering evening. And I actually had a really good time. And it was annoying being like, you know, not the only famous person there. Christy Turlington was there.
Wow. And Amy Schumer posted about the book.
So I thought Amy Schumer was going to be there because she posted about the book. And Dana was like, is Amy? I'm like, calm down. No, she's not here. So annoying. But she is doing press for that Pop-Tart movie. So like, I'll allow it.
Marjorie Post. I'm sorry. But she needs to come on the toast for that. We're like the leading experts in Marjorie Post.
It's so true. We should reach out, by the way.
We should. That's a good hook.
That like we are Marjorie Post history. We are like we are the foremost leading podcast when it comes to talking about Marjorie Post.
We're the foremost leading pop culture podcast when it comes to talking about Marjorie Post. And
no, I think podcast period. Who else is talking about her?
I don't know. You know, sometimes they'll do like a deep dive.
That's one episode. We talk about her every day.
I'm sorry. The leading Marjorie Post podcast is The Redheads, because we did a whole episode about the book, but it could be a collab. Anyways, she's playing Marjorie Post like in a movie. So she needs that pop culture hook too. Like we couldn't be more perfect.
No, I'm going to reach out.
Cool. I'll fly in for it.
1,000%. Yeah. So yes, it was a fabulous event. I loved it. And then Ben got home and when I walked in the door, I felt like seriously like a man from the 50s. Like my husband was making me like a fresh meal and I had had a long day. And I'm like, oh, fix me a scotch, honey. Like I coming home to a home cooked meal when it was like 70% done and I have to like wait around and watch. I really felt like, what's his name for Mad Men, John Hamm. I loved it.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I think I would have thrived as a man during that age.
I think my husband had that experience last night. Like he just like walked in. He's like, smells good in here.
Happy like, birthday to your husband.
Happy birthday to my husband. Happy birthday.
To your husband. Happy birthday. I already got my text in. I was probably the first one. I was so proud of myself.
Oh, that's awesome. We have
Zach Shapiro posted on Instagram and I was like, shit, that reminded me. So Zach Shapiro probably got to him first.
If I do a birthday post on Instagram for anyone, like it's literally not coming till 8 p.m. Don't expect it any sooner.
That's a really good point. I like that.
Yeah, like I don't wake up with my post ready. Maybe I should plan it at 8 p.m. the night before to get it out in the morning, but that's just, I'm too authentic for that.
It's not who you are.
And I always hold out hope, like we're going to dinner tonight, I'm gonna get dressed up. My yes. hope is that we're gonna take a picture together that I can post, happy birthday to my husband. Correct. What's going to happen is not, either we take a picture and I hate it, or like I don't have the balls to ask someone to take our picture. Yeah. Or like a waiter takes like a really bad like table pic. Like I'm not.
No, by the way,
no offense. Table pics. It's got to be aesthetic.
Table pics. Seriously, do not ever. The thing is, okay, table pics can be taken. They cannot be posted.
It's just for the memes. Like, and even though it's two people, like, okay, so I'll go to his side of the booth and we'll take a picture with like we're not going to ask at the beginning of the meal and we're going to ask at the end when the table's dirty. Anyways, all set to say. We're not going to get a great picture tonight. That's why not until we get home am I going to concede that point and post for him on Instagram.
I do need to point out that you have been saying all's that to say a lot recently. Is that like a new thing?
All's that to say? I think that it is.
That's funny. I'm glad you have a lovely night planned. I will be literally on a journey to another land, and I probably won't get home till 2 a.m.
Yikes, bikes.
Yeah, your girl's going to Philly, which like isn't like fun and exciting, like Philly toasters. Like, no, it's not like that, you know?
Do you have good seats?
We do. I mean, by the way, Ben knows. Like, if you're gonna make me go, I want good seats. I'm like a snob like that, but like I never go, so.
Are you courtside?
No, but very close.
Well, that's exciting. How are you getting there? Driving?
Literally, like driving through the night.
You guys love to drive.
Well, if you have a car, I would hope so.
I don't know. When I think of like Philly, I'm like, so you take the train or the shuttle flight?
I'm not taking a flight. Are you nuts? And also,
no, I agree.
Do you want to hear the craziest thing? I don't know if you know, like, what time would you say like an East Coast basketball game starts?
I only know that right now that they start like kind of early because it's like before bedtime and everyone's got the TV on. I'm like, this won't work for me. It's been starting at 7 o'clock.
So most games, like, and I used to be into basketball, like it was 7 and then tip off at 7:15, like always 7. I've never heard of a game being any later than that. This game is at 9 p.m.
Why don't you just stay the night in Philly?
So that's what Ben had suggested. He was like, there's like a million hotels. Like for what?
Yeah. So you're not on the road at 2 a.m. literally.
But that's when like you get home super fast.
That's true.
I just like, not to complain because like, of course it's like fun, but it's just definitely like.
And there wasn't like a friend that wanted to go with him?
No, I'm sure there was. But the thing about Ben. Who?
Dana. She would absolutely love to.
I'll bring it up. But the thing about Ben that's so sweet, like.
He likes spending time with his wife.
He does. And I was like, are you sure you don't like want to take like Jack or Victor, like any of your friends? And he was like, no. Like, I want to spend time with you. I'm like, that is so sweet. Okay. Like, I guess we're going to be spending time together. We could also spend time together at our house. Like.
Yeah, but what are things that you kind of drag him to?
That's the thing. I'm not much of a dragger. Like,
me neither.
Because if there's something I'm really excited about, I want to go with someone who's on my level. And Ben can get excited for me, but he's never going to be screaming, crying, throwing up. Like, even at Eras, like, I went with him once. But the other times, like, I went with others.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be my, like, this is the equivalent. This is Ben's Eras tour. And I was his first choice. I feel like that's so sweet. He was literally, like, my fourth for Eras.
Yeah. No, it is sweet. And you'll go, and you'll like it.
Yeah, but like Ben knows, like to make it premium for me. Like if something goes wrong and I'm like not having fun, and you drag my ass 2 hours in the car, like I will be in a mood. So he's like planning. I was like, make sure there's parking. Like, don't make me walk a million blocks to get
to
the place.
Make sure there's gas in the car. Make sure the tires are full of air. There's a spare in the trunk.
Figure out timing so that I'm not hungry when I get there. Like, seriously. So, yeah, you have a job now. Are you sure you don't want to go with Jack?
Snacks in the car.
Oh, yeah. We always have a bag of snacks in the car. Thanks to, very, very randomly, Mark Schoenwetter, my best friend, who is also a Holocaust survivor. When I went to his house in Livingston, they literally put in the car for me. They had this, like, little bag of, like, mini water bottles, Kind bars, little M&M packs. So I keep it in the car. You never know when you need it. And seriously, it's always in my car. Isn't that crazy?
That's nice.
I know. So thoughtful.
Yeah.
So I'll be going to Philly tonight. Honestly, we might need to start the show a little late tomorrow because, like, I won't be going to bed till 2, 3 a.m.
That should work for me. Tomorrow, I'm kind of, you're not going to recognize me, so get used to me now.
You're getting Botox?
I'm getting a spray tan today.
Oh, that's
huge.
So
you're just going to have, like, a glamazon on the show tomorrow, which is exciting for the show.
It's exciting that, like, a big-time model will be stopping by.
Yeah, so I'm excited for you guys that you'll get to participate in that.
That's huge.
And then I'll have, like, my spray tan for my big photo tonight with my husband.
Yeah, but if you're behind the table, like, you won't be able to see your spray tan legs.
No, I know. I think I have to, like, go out of my comfort zone and, like, when we're in it outside of the restaurant, like, ask someone to take a picture.
And honestly, before the meal, because by the time you leave, it'll be dark. Lipstick. And that's, like, the worst lighting.
Yeah. And I need, like, my lipstick will be off. I'm not going to put it on just to come home. There's so much that goes into it. And I feel like the husbands don't appreciate that. They're just like, why didn't you pose for me?
It's so true. Well, it's like, maybe I didn't have anything to work with, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, I'm going to give it everything I got.
We know you will. And we're so looking forward to following. And we'll just be waiting. I'll be in the car on the way to Philly, like refreshing Instagram, looking for the photo.
And whenever I wind up posting around 10 p.m., like, you guys will know what happened.
Oh, around 10 p.m.? I'll be at the game by then.
Still on your phone.
So true. Honestly, like, the small glimmer of hope that, like, perhaps they'll, you know, put me on TV, like, oh, this girl looks beautiful, I wonder who she's rooting for, like, that's the only thing carrying me through.
Television opportunity.
And, like, maybe I'll go viral, like, you know, there's, like, always those moments, like, they catch someone on ESPN, like, maybe that'll be me.
I know. That's just like not your luck, Turdy. You have like a lot of mazel in your life and there are things that like could only happen to you, but like staging your own fake viral moment, like everybody's onto you. They can smell you from a mile away.
It's, once again, it's because I'm far too authentic. Like they would know that I knew I was about to be on camera.
No, like that cameraman can smell that this girl is not going to do anything authentically viral.
No. And by the way, let's say for argument's sake that I did go viral for something crazy. Like, because I'm, like, already, like, a media personality and there's so much, like, actual proof of me being thirsty, like, I would get called out. Like, I wouldn't even have a chance to go viral because they would seriously, like, they would lift the veil on my true intentions.
They would stop you writing your checks. They would play this episode.
Precisely.
So that's not in the cards for you. But that's okay. You have amazing other cards.
It's true.
Like, and you have your curds.
And I have my curds. So I'm ready to dive in if you are, Jacqueline Follet.
I am ready to get into the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Rails. That's right, Rails. We love luxury. Rails is making luxury essentials accessible. They're an LA-based brand that blends their California roots with an elevated European aesthetic, and the fabrics feel as good as they look. So I discovered Rails. Well, actually, I discovered Rails like a million years ago when we were going to Utah. I bought this like really cute sweater, and it turned out to be Rails. And I was like, oh, cute. Noted on the brand. Then I was in LA, and I got a DM from them. They're like, we see you're in LA. We're based in LA. Like, can we send you some stuff for your trip? And I low-key had like nothing to wear. I was like podcasting. So they sent me pieces that seriously changed my life. Every time I place an order or get anything from Rails, it is my favorite items. They're so cute. They're really well made. You can build your closet with elevated staples like luxe button downs, statement making sets, or get event ready in their dreamy satin dresses. So basically, if you're shopping for spring, go to rails.com right now. That's R-A-I-L-S.com. And you can take 15% off your order with code TOAST15, which is kind of a major discount. I love Rails. Like the fact that they're a sponsor of the show is such, I think, like, are we fashionistas? Like, seriously, New York Fashion Week front row energy. Rails is one of our favorite brands. Oh, so many times when I wear stuff on the toes, people are like, where's that from? It's Rails. That's right. And now we are working with them, which is so amazing. So it's rails.com, R-A-I-L-S.com. Take 15% off your order with code TOAST15. They also have great stuff for men. Ben got a pair of linen pants. He was like, I can't wear those. He wears them all the time. So elevating the men in your life as well. Today's episode is also brought to you by Chomps. Do you ever wish there were more than 24 hours in a day? Same. Luckily, Chomps knows real life demands real ingredients, and that's why they make healthy snacks perfect for life on the go. So get ready to find out how good healthy snacks can taste with Chomps. Every bite is bursting with bold flavor and comes in a variety of flavors for everyone. Let me tell you, Chomps has like a cult following. People talk about Chomps. They're like so zealous about it. They've honestly, it makes sense. They have zero sugar. They have up to 12 grams of protein and they're low carb. So chompable flavors that you can take bigger, bolder, and better bites every time. I'm in the phase of life where like I'm looking for snacks that are going to fuel me, that are going to serve me, that are high in protein, that are not going to make me feel fatigued, that are actually going to keep me full. It's sustainably sourced meat without any fillers. You can feel good knowing what you're snacking on. They come in 10 delicious bold flavors. There's a healthy snack option for everyone. You can grab a variety pack to satisfy your whole family's taste buds. There are even smaller chomplings for a quick snack for the kids in your life. Right now, go to chomps.com/toast because they are offering our listeners 20% off your first order and free shipping when you go to chomps.com/toast. That's chomps, chomps.com/toast to see all of the delicious flavors, learn about the brand, and then get 20% off your first order plus free shipping. So that's chomps.com/toast. Chomps is spelled chomps. chomps.com/toast. Don't forget to use that link. They will know that we sent you and you will get that 20% off your first order and that free shipping. Today's episode is also brought to you by Skylight Frame, the perfect gift for moms, grandmas, or any mother in your life. It's the digital frame that keeps your whole family connected, and just in time for Mother's Day, listeners are going to get 15% off. So as Mother's Day approaches, you want to, you know, sit down and think about a gift that, one, your mom doesn't already have, which is really hard. Two, one that's like sentimental. Mother's Day is not where you go all out. It's where you like let your mom know that she's everything and you want to stay, you know, as close with her as you possibly can. And that's why the Skylight Frame is the perfect Mother's Day gift. Anyone can send photos to the frame in just seconds via app or email. It's a great way to keep in touch with friends and family. It's super easy to set up. So even if your mom or grandma's not like super tech savvy, I swear they can do it. And it's not going to take them a long time. Setup takes less than 60 seconds. It really looks like a real photo frame, but it's digital. So you can add new photos every day. You can scroll through like iconic family moments, family history, if you will. The Skylight Frame has a gorgeous touchscreen. It comes in two sizes, the original 10-inch or the newer 15-inch gallery frame. You can swipe through photos with your finger, tap the heart button to thank the person who sent the photo. They offer an 100% satisfaction guarantee, so if you don't love your Skylight, they will offer you a full refund. As a special limited time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/toast. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/toast. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today. I love my Skylight Frame, and I did use code toast, so it's 15% off at skylightframe.com/toast. An amazing Mother's Day gift, but also get one for yourself. It's really beautiful. It's like great decor. And also, like, who doesn't love having pictures of your family in your house? Like, it's so nice.
Yeah. Are you ready for our first story?
Yeah.
Dan Schneider is suing the Quiet On Set producers for defamation, calling the Nickelodeon abuse docuseries a, quote, hit job. Dan Schneider has filed a defamation lawsuit against the producers of ID's docuseries Quiet On Set, which uncovered alleged abuse and misconduct at Nickelodeon and became Max's biggest streaming title ever. The lawsuit obtained by Variety and filed by Schneider's attorneys, Jana Moser and Richard McKay, reads in part, quote, Quiet On Set's portrayal of Schneider as a hit job. While it is indisputable that two bona fide child sexual abusers worked on Nickelodeon shows, it is likewise indisputable that Schneider had no knowledge of their abuse and was not complicit in the abuse, condemned the abuse once it was discovered, and critically, was not a child sexual abuser himself. But for the sake of clickbait, ratings, and views, or put differently, money, defendants have destroyed Schneider's reputation and legacy through the false statements and implications that Schneider is exactly that.
In the words of Julia Roberts, big mistake, huge, because honestly, the documentary, I feel like, really did not make Dan Schneider look any worse than like we thought he was. I don't feel like it brought anything new to the table in regards to Dan Schneider specifically. And I do also feel the moment has passed. It was like a week where everyone was talking about it, and I really haven't thought about it since. Now it's back in the fold. His name is back in the headlines. And like, I actually thought the documentary was really soft on him.
Yeah. I don't know how I came away from it, because I feel like the documentary was a hit job on Dan Schneider, more so about the bullying and just toxic workplace and like the mistreatment of children. But then also the stuff about like the later years and all those like Victorious scenes that are really inappropriate. Oh, like they yeah. are drawing a line that Dan, like there's was child sexual misconduct on the set. And then also like Dan Schneider had these like sexual
innuendos. Scenes.
So I think he was completely disgraced by this documentary. Like, I think
that's so funny. I
people
don't.
Like us like knew the allegations about him for years, but like in the industry, like he kind of resigned in not peacefully. Disgrace, you know, there was like an investigation and then he went, but like no one really knew the story. When I see this, I'm like, I actually find it interesting. It makes me think that like maybe he really didn't do some of the things that we've always thought that he did.
Well, the fact that they clearly went to great lengths to make a documentary about this time at Nickelodeon, and they were not able to find proof or anyone to speak on record regarding Dan Schneider and like any allegations that have floated around about him for years, is really bizarre to me.
And I feel like now with this lawsuit, like if he did abuse anyone in his day, like that person would come forward now because they could be like, oh no, it's not defamation. Like you did that shit.
Yeah.
I feel like he's really opening himself. If he did it,
he is.
He's opening himself up right now to be like completely like finished.
That's so funny. My takeaway from the documentary was like, it wasn't that bad for Dan Schneider. Like, I feel like they focused so much of the other like hours of the documentary on those other two fucking freaks. And by the time the last episode, they went back to Dan. It was really, it was about like toxic workplace, which he went on a interview afterwards and kind of basically admitted like, he was a freak. He used to make the girls give him massages. Like, I didn't really feel like it was that bad for him. I thought it was going to be way worse because like you said, for so many years, we've heard these things.
I think something that also helped his image in the documentary was, I think one of the lasting things that people took away from it was Drake Bell's story.
Yeah.
And in Drake Bell's story, like Dan Schneider is kind of the hero of it.
Not the hero. He's certainly not the villain. He obviously, if you're working on a show, you should have gone more above and beyond.
No, but like, so there for like, what more could he have done once he knew?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Then you also think like that shit starts at the top. And like, you know, creating an environment where somebody can so easily, by the way, even with Drake Bell, whose dad was really heavily involved, who can so easily infiltrate a young person, like, what kind of environment are you fostering? Because you best believe if my ass is producing a fucking kid show, oh, I've got cameras everywhere and I'm doing full background checks on who I hire. Like, if you really cared.
Yes. I mean, I agree. Yes. That's how I feel. Dan Schneider's not the only person in charge. Like, no. It's also a kids' network.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lot of people have failed the children here.
Yes,
and I do feel like even in the way that we're talking, like it's all fallen on Dan. And I think for us, that's been fine because of what we've always thought and known about him and what we've heard. And so it's like, oh, well, A equals B and B equals C. So yeah, Dan. But if Dan isn't that person, if you have to like just think for a second, if Dan's not that person, then he's been like really disgraced.
Yeah, I do feel like him filing this lawsuit is really incongruous with everything that we've known about him. You're 100% right that like it completely opens him up to people coming forward, because if he just kept, he's kind of been like off the grid, you know, he doesn't really work anymore and he's very wealthy. He doesn't have to. So no one's like talking about him every day.
Yeah.
And even when the documentary came out, you would have thought if there were more stuff about Dan, people who weren't involved with the documentary might have come forward. But you also don't know what sort of like situations the people who could potentially be victims of Dan Schneider find themselves in, or what, you know, sometimes, you know, you sign something.
Yeah.
I don't know either,
but also these lawsuits are very hard to win. Typically, most people don't sue. And it's not like they said outright anything defamatory. They just sort of like drew a line, a thread throughout of like
inferred.
Of like inappropriate sexual conduct, and there were extreme cases, and then there were the things that Dan was doing which were completely inappropriate in terms of like what he was filming with the young girls. Yep. And those things. I don't even know that they have a case based on that. So I feel like the fact that they're going for it, it's unexpected.
It's bizarre. Yeah,
so we shall see.
It's gonna take a lot for me to really ever change my mind on Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
Like, you would have to have a whole hell of a lot of proof to convince my ass that he wasn't doing some weird shit.
But how do you have proof of something that didn't happen?
No, I know.
Yeah. I really feel like, is it even possible? I have to watch a documentary again. I need to be grounded.
I do not need to watch that documentary again. It was really fucking upsetting. Like, graphic. And just...
Well, they had those extra episodes that came out, but I don't think they made a lot of waves because I didn't read anything and I didn't watch them.
Me neither.
So we shall see.
Yes, we shall.
Are you ready for our next story?
I am.
Some sweet news. Princess Charlotte has turned 9 and Kate Middleton and Prince William release a nude photo for her 9th birthday, as they do for the princesses. And Kate took the photo and I'm not seeing any, you know, AI claims or
so her passion for photography was correct.
Extra fingers. She's always taken their like childhood photos. And this is just a super sweet one.
Honestly, I don't think they could have handled one more Photoshop fail. Like, I'm glad that the photo is clean. And also, like, you really don't need to be Photoshopping children. Like,
no. And especially when it's one.
Right.
Even when it's two, you can find a picture where they're both looking and smiling.
Yeah. But, like, I seriously think the monarchy would have crumbled if there had been one more fucking Photoshop fail. Like, they are seriously, they're one Photoshop fail away from anarchy, okay?
I feel like they should have made a Photoshop fail in this picture just to, one, like, normalize Photoshop fails. And it, like, definitely takes the heat off of the last one. Because it's like, oh, that's just a fail in a string of fails, not a larger conspiracy.
Right. I also feel like I haven't thought about Kate Middleton in a while. Like, I feel like everybody really left her alone, which is so nice.
People are giving her the privacy that she requested.
And the grace that she so gracefully deserves.
Yeah. Well, she's having... Oh, I guess Princess Charlotte has the same birthday as my husband. So does David Beckham, I learned this morning.
Okay.
And The Rock.
I feel like your husband would, like, love those two being his birthday buddies.
Yeah,
like,
no.
If birthday buddies mean as much to him as they do to me, like, I bet that he's, like, a really happy birthday boy.
Well, you know how I know that those are his birthday parties is because he told me this morning.
Oh, so it's obviously something he cares about.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I just remembered. It's David Beckham's birthday too. And
I should wish him a happy birthday.
And then I saw Victoria's post for David and I said, oh, my husband wasn't making that up.
Well, a happy birthday to David. Like I've always said, they're not trying, but they can never make me hate you.
Happy birthday to David. Happy birthday to Dwayne. Happy birthday to Charlotte. Happy birthday to Zach.
It's kind of like a bussin' birthday.
I feel like May in general is bussing. I saw Molly May's story today and she said that May is a really major month for their family. Like it's Tommy's birthday, it's her birthday, it's like Tommy's dad's birthday and Tommy's mom's birthday. And she's just really excited that it's May.
I also feel like
Molly May.
Oh, I also feel like in the rankings of months, May is definitely like top five. It's like an amazing
month. It's an elite month.
I would say maybe it's even like top three.
I would agree with that. What do you think is the number one month? It's so okay. I want to say it's subjective, but I think it's not subjective that May is top three.
Agreed. Everyone would put like their own birthday month like in, but no, I think December is really up there. Oh. It's an amazing month. Nobody works. The snow, the Christmas vibes, like.
Okay. And there's always like treats around.
So
everyone's
true.
Everyone's like providing treats. Yep. You can't walk a block without so like true. A candy bowl.
Well, actually, that's more like October.
No, but like I just feel like in December, I was like trying to diet and I couldn't because there was like, or you know, your fellow workers send you a holiday basket. We'd love to send a basket to our
to
colleagues.
All of our, we
and
do.
When we do that, we also send one to ourselves.
Because who works harder than us?
No one. And the baskets when we're choosing them for our colleagues, like I want that. I want that chocolate covered pair.
No, yeah. We want, remember that cookie one we did? That one was really major.
Yeah. So there,
like everyone was talking about it.
I agree. I think objectively, December's number one.
I think so too.
So then what's another strong month for you?
November. Like I love, it's December light. It's December light.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We have Thanksgiving. We have the same energy. People have their Christmas trees up. It also has that autumnal vibe.
And it's like, it's all so far away. It feels like we've got all the time in the world.
A lot of people feel that way about October. I don't feel that way because I don't love those spooky vibes. Like people love these, like they think that like aesthetically, like Halloween is like a good vibe too. It's not for me. So I wouldn't include, I would go the order of the months. Tell me if you agree with this. December, May, November. Top 3 months.
Top three. I might go December, November, May.
Okay.
But I agree. Those are top three. And actually, if we want to acknowledge the space that we're in, I feel like we just came off of some of the hardest months.
Yes, that's what I said earlier in the week. The first quarter is the worst. Like there's not a lot of holidays. It's terrible weather. Everyone's really back at work, working super, super fucking hard. We are out of the woods. Like when people talk about seasonal depression, they're literally talking about like January, February, March.
And April too. April like gets off unscathed.
No, we have Passover and Easter. Like there are days off.
That's true, but Easter was in March this year. And right. Passover's like hard, low-key.
Oh,
and we didn't take off. Nah, fuck that.
I was talking to somebody last night, actually, at the party. They were talking about Passover, of course. And I think I realized, like, Passover is, like, my least favorite Jewish holiday. Like, the bread thing is really hard for me.
I think you said 2 weeks ago that it's your favorite.
Well, I didn't say that. I said that the Seders, which only happen on night one and night two of literally 10 days, by the way, eight. I really do love those Seders. Like, I just love the vibes, love the songs, friends, family, et cetera. But yeah, now looking at it from a glance, I didn't know what I was in for on day one. At day eight, yeah, I'm going to say it's one of my least favorites.
And I feel like it really messed with my wellness journey because you would think, like, no bread, that's going to help you. But I don't know, I really got accustomed to having, like, a turkey sandwich for lunch. And it sounds like a big lunch, but it's actually not. And it felt like a big lunch, but it wasn't. And then I just kind of like didn't know what to have for lunch anymore. So I wouldn't have lunch. And then I would just like wait and get so hungry and then flop on my wellness journey.
What did you break the bread fast on?
Like I didn't do a big breaking because honestly, I'm not that stringent with it. Like I'll be honest because I'm authentic. I won't outright eat a piece of bread because I think that's disrespectful to our ancestors who couldn't have a piece of bread. But what did I, cracker? Sure.
Right, I know what you mean.
Anything that's like grab and go, it's like, well, they would have grabbed a bag of pretzels if they could, even though I tried to stay away from pretzels. But you know, I had popcorn. Apparently, we can't have corn. Like, I don't go that far, is what I'm saying.
That's so fair, by the way. Like,
and I think some of the Taylor Farms I had little crunchies on top. Had them.
If they could have chosen a Taylor Farms to grab and go while fleeing slavery in Egypt, they would have, just so you know.
Yeah, and if you had a Taylor Farms, you would know what it's like to not want to leave those crunchies off. Right. They're kind of the best part.
Right, right. What was the story?
It was about Princess Charlotte, and there wasn't much story there, so I'm glad that we made it our own.
And that's what we do. Like, we make a mountain out of a molehill. That's exactly what we just did. We made lemonades out of, seriously, like, rotten lemons.
I'm trying to think how we got there, talking about the best months, talking about May is busing.
May, birthdays. Yeah.
It's gonna be May.
Did you see the video of Justin Timberlake's concert that's, like, going viral?
No, because my algorithm, like, knows I don't give a rip about Justin Timberlake, and you don't like him, but, like, you do give rips because...
Well, so he goes viral, like, and the circles that it goes viral for me in is, like, in a negative way, so, of course, that's going to make its way to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's still, like, the opposite of love isn't hate.
It's, right, indifference. That's true. Maybe I'm a Justin Timberlake fan. So he did a show in, like, Vancouver, and he has this crazy-ass stage that, like it's, like, this big square, and it, like, lifts, and he's, like, in the sky, and then it tilts forward, and he's literally, like, levitating over people. And it went viral because it's, like, is that absolutely necessary? Like, for real? And I think it's at the end of the show when he's singing Mirrors. I don't want to lose you now. That's Mirrors, right? Half of me. Soon I've been a center of my heart. It's pain, so now you hold. Tell me how to five and a half.
Looking right. Yeah, I'm looking at right at the
like
other
I'm
half
a
of
mirror.
Me. Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Okay, I just want to say, you know, guys know how I feel about Justin Timberlake, but, like, how come he can't have, like, sweet moments at his concert where, like, people do the craziest things and it's never, like, was this necessary? But, like, Justin tries to, like, turn his stage and people are, like, all of a sudden it's too much?
People do that about Pink. They're, like, when she's flying through the air with the greatest of ease, they're all saying to one another, is that, you know, of the absolute necessity?
Right, but that's not, maybe they say it to one another, but it's not become, like, what everyone is saying. That, you know what I mean?
By the way, yes, it kind of has for Pink. Like,
oh, really?
It's like a running joke on the internet. Whenever you see, like, somebody at the circus on a trapeze, they're like, oh, it's Pink. Like,
oh, interesting. Of course, I don't see her that way as a true fan.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, of course.
I'm a true fan.
Whoa.
I'm here till the end.
You put me aside when something ain't right. Honestly, nobody has made better music, sonically, rhythmically, lyrically, since Hannah Montana, the television show. And honestly, I think you can say what you want about Billy Ray Cyrus, but he was the creative genius behind those songs.
No.
You don't think?
No, there was, like, Disney machine, and it, of course,
oh, wait, not me, by the way. In the TV show, the dad writes all the songs, not me thinking that was real.
No, but, like, of course, Hannah Montana's my number one, but that era, like, we got so much great music, Camp Rock.
That's true.
Like, I was actually just listening to a song from Camp Rock, and I was, like, taken with how...
What do you think is the best song to come out of Camp Rock? Because I know what it is.
Well, the song I was just singing, you, me, we're face to face, but we won't see eye to eye.
We won't.
We're like fire and rain. I'm sorry, like, that song is insane.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the best song to come
out of. That song is insane.
Literally.
And I can't seem mad at you for anything.
Let me tell you the best song to come out of any of the Camp Rock movies, and perhaps the best Jonas Brothers song ever written is Play My Music.
Beautiful song, but
it's so good.
My favorite Jonas Brothers song, like, is Fly With Me.
Oh, I feel like I thought you were gonna say Roller Coaster.
Oh, I love that song. No, but, like, Fly With Me just added to the list of songs that, like, are my favorite
really
songs.
It's really sick. Like,
really sick. No, so whoever was writing, like, that music, where are those people? Like, they didn't just go away because those shows went away. Who that was like when we looked up who wrote The Climb, and then we found out, like, it's this Nashville songwriter, and we looked at all their other songs, and not only were they other songs that we also love, but then there were songs we hadn't heard of that I listened to that I love.
Okay, they said it was written by the Jonas Brothers and Greg Garbowski. So let's look at Greg. He's known as Garbo. Let's see what he's written. He wrote a lot of those Jonas Brothers songs, From Lines, Vines, and Trying Times, A Little Bit Longer.
Okay, now look up, like, who wrote Nobody's Perfect?
That's an amazing question.
Yeah. Because Greg seems Jonas Brothers specific.
Yeah, no, I was thinking the same. It was written by Matthew Gerard and Robbie Neville. So Matthew Gerard.
I'm looking at Matthew Gerard. You look up Robbie Neville.
Oh, Matthew Gerard has written for the Bratz movie, Hilary Duff, Big Time Rush, Camp Rock, Christy Carlson Romano, Corbin Bleu, The Cheetah Girls.
This is the guy.
Nick Carter, Miley Cyrus. Oh, he wrote Best of Both Worlds, Nobody's Perfect, Life's What You Make It, and other various ones. He obviously wrote with Robbie Neville when it came to Miley Cyrus.
This is the guy we're looking for.
Yeah, Robbie Neville wrote, oh, C'est la vie. Say you will, say Bewitched? You won't. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And what are they doing now?
I don't know. It says he hasn't written a song in a while.
I can't find anything about these people, but I'm probably spelling everything wrong.
Yeah, you are. Oh, by the way, the other guy, what was his first guy's name?
Matthew Gerard.
He also wrote Kelly Clarkson's Breakaway. I thought they always said Avril Lavigne wrote that song.
Did they?
That's like the thing. That Avril Lavigne wrote. No, am I wrong? What's the Avril Lavigne Kelly Clarkson thing?
I don't know, but I'm not giving.
No, yes. Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson was originally written for and by Avril Lavigne, but they gave it to Kelly.
Okay, what else is Matthew Gerard working on?
Jessica Simpson's Underneath. I don't know that one.
I'm sure it's amazing.
That's really it. I named all of them. A Jessica Simpson song that I don't know, a David Archuleta song I don't know, and a Jonas Brothers song I don't know. Drive. Like, if I were to write a song, seriously, I mean, I have, but next time I write a song, I'm calling up Matthew Gerard.
You better. He did
Burlesque. Oh my God, he did Burlesque.
Claudia, this is our person.
So when people
this
ask,
is the person we've
what
been
is the genre
for?
Of music that you like and who's your favorite singer? Seriously, Matthew Gerard.
No, who's your favorite songwriter? Matthew Gerard.
I desperately hope that this episode makes its way to Matthew Gerard. Matthew, please reach out. I would absolutely love to do a song. Please, seriously, Matthew, please find me.
Oh,
I'm available. DM.
Oh my God. I just, like, yeah, why does this take so hard for us to figure out? Like, those are the best songs. What happened to those people who were writing them?
Literally, they're still around.
Doing what? I want to listen.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Seriously. Like, thanks, Princess Charlotte.
That was seriously satisfying. Thanks, Princess Charlotte.
That's funny.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Story that you're going to love because Normani did a big, wide-ranging interview with The Cut.
Yeah, I'm
and
obsessed.
And of course, something that has been plucked out from the interview is a question, line of questioning about Normani running her own fan account. So in the interview, they reference the incident.
Viral moment.
The viral moment.
Yeah, no, I like incident better. This is an incident report.
So here's the paragraph. It said, even today, she says she preferred. It's a very long, extensive interview. And it's like a shame that people and us are only focusing on this part. If you want to know more about Normani, like go read the interview. It talks about like why she hasn't put out an album in the 5 years. It talks about like her whole origin story, like what's important to her. And here's what's important to us. Even today, she says she prefers to leave social media to her management. Her posts have a cool, measured remove to them and rarely reveal too much about her personal life. She said, I'm not on social media, but I do see a lot and I'm very tapped into what y'all are saying. Recently, one of her more popular fan pages, at Normani Nation, tweeted a screenshot of her Instagram where Normani had just deleted all of her posts. Quote, what is happening? They wrote. People quickly noticed the screenshot showed the user was signed into Normani's own account, suggesting that the artist or her team might be running her own fan page. Normani said, no, I mean, I'm definitely heavily involved, she says calmly when I ask about her relationship to her fan accounts. But does she run any of them? Does her team at RCA? Her publicist steps in and says, yeah, I think we can skip this question.
This was so poorly handled because I actually feel as somebody who understands like how the world works, a new way of artists managing themselves is having like headquarters for their fandoms and it being a part of their management, like Taylor Nation, HSHQ for Harry Styles. So many fans have like basically their fan clubs run by their own team. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Normani Nation, nobody thinks someone else is running Taylor Nation. They think it's coming from Taylor and her HQ. The fact that she couldn't just explain that now makes her look seriously like a huge loser.
Yeah, and then her team, which is The same people that got her into trouble with this, because again, I don't think it was Normani on her actual phone, right?
Me neither.
Screenshotting and saying what is happening. It was her team on her account, like trying to drum up some excitement. Hype. And then them stepping in again to make her look bad again. Like, the team needs to go. Where are the fire rings? Like, and I also need to know, like, in order to sleep at night, that the person who did that on Normani's
where
team, like
now?
For her management label, like, just that, what happened to that person?
No, seriously.
They shouldn't work in social media.
This has been so grossly mismanaged. And you're right. Like, I don't think Normani was the one who physically took the screenshot and then tweeted. No, her team is obviously signed into her account. It's literally not a big deal. But the jumping through hoops to lie about it. Now she looks seriously like she screenshotted it herself, posted it herself. But I don't think that was even what happened.
Yeah. I feel like I get what you're saying, where it's like there's nothing wrong with
it.
And in fact, it's actually a good thing to own your fan account. But if up until now they've been pretending it's like just an anonymous fan, how can you kind of backtrack on that now? I feel like she should have, in this case, and usually I'm against this, but I think she should have thrown someone under the bus and been like, oh yeah, there was someone on my team who did that. We had no idea they were doing that. Like, they've been let go.
Yeah, and you don't even have to let anyone go. It's just like an imaginary person.
Yeah. So it's like an imaginary throwing of
the thing
bus.
Is, we could wax on and off about different ways this could have been handled, and all of them would have been better than what just happened. And you should know better. Like, the cut is, they're cutting. They're vicious. They're snarky. They're not like a friendly. You had to know that they were going to keep that in. They, I believe, were also who was the publication that kept in the Ben Platt publicist stepping in about Nepo babies and the article in the New Yorker? I think it was also the cut. They are known for being snarky.
Yeah. Even though this article from the piece on her, I read a lot of it, but I did skim to get to this part. It seems meant to be friendly. You know, I think she's sitting down with them.
How can it not be? Normani's not a bad person.
No, but like, I think she could have given a wide-ranging interview to a number of places. And this is kind of like the bridge to get from like understanding the last 5 years to now her new album that's coming out in June. Like, she's kind of giving them a big moment. So I don't think they meant to be like incredibly shady, but how else could you handle this?
Yeah. Grossly mismanaged. All's to say, what is happening?
I feel like that Jonah Hill meme.
Yes. By the way, that's literally what they wanted us to visualize when they were trying to, you know, pull one over on us.
Thankfully, it is what I visualized, but not in the way they intended.
What is happening? Literally.
Well, countdown to Normani's debut album, June 14th. See you there.
See you there, maybe.
Are you ready for our next story?
If it's the next story, that's brought to you by Maybelline, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So this episode of The Toast is brought to you by Maybelline. For over a century, Maybelline has provided accessible makeup to give everyone the self-confidence to express themselves. And as the number one makeup brand in the world, Maybelline has the platform and the power to make an impact from the inside out. And that's why they've created Brave Together, an initiative designed to help those facing anxiety and depression by funding professional one-on-one support so that no one has to struggle alone. Mental health challenges like anxiety or depression can be so difficult to manage on your own. And if you are someone who hasn't struggled, I'm sure you know someone who struggled, like a friend who struggled with anxiety, and you don't really know what to say, you don't know how to help or just be there for them. So Maybelline New York created the Brave Talk training to help people navigate mental health conversations with their friends. It's 5 easy steps to having a brave talk, B-R-A-V-E. Be present, right setting, ask questions, validate feelings, and encourage action. It's brave to ask for help, so let's be brave together. Maybelline is committed to donating $10 million to NGO partners and providing free access to one-on-one professional support to 3 million people by 2025 so that no one has to struggle alone. They recently filmed a mini docuseries that is presented by the WHO Foundation. The brand is spotlighting their meaningful efforts to impact global mental health by working with local NGOs nationwide. So that is, if you or someone you know is experiencing anxiety or depression, Maybelline New York is funding free confidential support. Text together to 741-741 or visit maybelline.com/brave together to learn more. Today's episode is brought to you also by ZocDoc. You know, you get cornered by that family aunt at a gathering and you feel like you have to bend the truth. You know, the one who asks when you're getting married, when you're getting a promotion, only for her to not really listen and just judge you. While you have to grin and bear it with your family, you shouldn't feel that way when talking to a doctor. So enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you We're not talking about a few doctors. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors. They all have verified patient reviews. You can make sure the vibes are vibing before you meet IRL. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. Sometimes you're just dealing with something kind of embarrassing when it comes to a medical issue, you know, a rash in a certain place, perhaps a hemorrhoid. Like, and you want to make sure before getting to the doctor's office that it's a good place, it's a good doctor, that he has good bedside manner, or she, you know, is nice to patients. And being able to read people's actual experiences with doctors is something we've needed for centuries, because doctoring can be just like really awkward. And I feel like everybody has a really bad experience. I don't want to talk about the, I told you actually about the really uncomfortable experience that I had at a doctor recently. You remember?
Yeah.
That's because I didn't go to ZocDoc, and I should have. So ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doctor you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And they have verified real reviews from actual patients. So go to ZocDoc.com/toast and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book top-rated doctors today. That's ZocDoc.com/toast, ZocDoc.com/toast to download the ZocDoc app for free.
Thank you, La.
You're welcome.
Our next story, a little casting news.
Okay.
Rosie O'Donnell has joined in Just Like That season 3.
Okay.
Saying, here comes Mary. So,
Mary?
Yeah, that's the name of her character. She posted on Instagram like a picture of her script. Her name is Mary on the show. She'll be in episode 1. And she said, here comes Mary, hashtag and Just Like That.
Okay, so I have to imagine like, Rosie's an iconic lesbian. Miranda's just, you know, had a late in life lesbian discovery. I think at the end of the season, spoiler alert, her and her girlfriend broke up. So,
and Che's not back on the show.
Oh, right. Maybe I will watch it. And perhaps Rosie is maybe, I don't know, how old is Cynthia Nixon in the show? Could Rosie be like sort of like a mentor for her? Or is it like a romantic relationship? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. I guess it could be romantic.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know. I forgot where the show left off. I just remember like really not enjoying a single minute
of it.
No,
like it's seriously so, so, so bad. I never even watched, but like my husband would watch. And so I would just like catch a scene here or there. And it was like, it was insane television.
It was insane television. That's a perfect way of putting it. And it's so crazy to really disgrace the legacy of such, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday. It's still so relevant. It still has such influence over like a new generation to completely disgrace. And especially like they nailed it with the movies. I'm sorry. The movies were amazing. I wouldn't touch a hair on the movies' heads.
Yes. Agreed. They gave
people
more.
So they kept the legacy intact.
No, but it's like you can talk about Sex and the City and talk about And Just Like That. Like, to me, they're two separate things. And
they
Just
are.
Like That, like, Sex and the City doesn't know And Just Like That, doesn't claim And Just Like That.
No, and honestly, I think when they announced the show and they said that the name was going to be And Just Like That, I remember being on the toast like, why? It's such an iconic name. Thank God for that.
Yeah, no, the show is...
because they're burning it to the ground.
...is an absolute train wreck.
It's some of the worst acting, the worst plots. Like, it's just fucking horrible.
And who's watching it that they even have a third season?
Me.
No, but did you finish last season?
Yeah, no, I'm literally watching it.
Still.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, right. Aiden, like, because they get you. They get you because seriously, at the end of the day, the characters themselves are beloved. And even when you watch a show, like, it's not the characters. Like, Charlotte, who doesn't love Charlotte? Like, she couldn't, seriously, like, it's like she got a lobotomy. She's such a bad actress. Like, it's horrible. There's nothing connecting the original characters to the characters who we know and love. I can't stop watching it.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And especially now that Che is out, seriously, like you can't stop me from watching it. Seriously.
Well, are you ready for our fifth and final story, which is some more content news that's really going to have the swirlies excited?
Okay.
It's swirly content news.
Oh, obsessed.
Colleen Hoover's Verity film adaptation is in development at Amazon MGM. A film adaptation of author Colleen Hoover's best-selling romantic thriller, Verity, is in development at Amazon MGM Studios. Hilary Seitz is currently writing the script. And who knows what shall be?
I'm cautiously optimistic. Obviously, we're all waiting for It Ends With Us. This, you know, crumbs that we've gotten are really disturbing and genuinely, like...
frightful.
What'd you say?
Frightful.
Frightful. Yeah, no, I don't even know what the right word is. It's disheartening, honestly.
I feel like Colleen Hoover should have signed a deal with a studio that would keep, like, the world of Colleen together. Because on the one hand, it's good because It Ends With Us looks like a piece of shite. Great, we can write that off. But Verity is going to Amazon with new people, and it's different. All different. And maybe Verity stands a chance to be properly cast and look good. But I feel like it's weird that she would be all over the place in terms, not that the books have anything to do with one another, but like we could have like a cohesive Colleen Hoover aesthetic, like Nancy Myers. Instead, I just feel like she's like taking whatever deal she could get, honestly.
That's actually a really good point. The books have nothing to do with one another, except for the fact that they're a part of the Colleen Hoover universe. Narrative-wise, they're not connected.
But like Nancy Myers movies don't have anything to do with each other, but there's a common thread.
That's actually so true. And it is just sort of like whack-a-mole, take this deal, that deal. And it doesn't feel cohesive. And especially, and I'm glad that she didn't give all the rights to the first deal, because Lord knows what that movie's going to end up looking and being. But no, you're right. It should have been like, it would have been major, and they have the money. It should have been like a one-on-one Hello Sunshine something.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really great. And I feel like Colleen has power. Not I feel like, she does. She seems to be someone who's just like so excited to be here. You know, I'm glad you guys like my books, but like she dominates, like she sold millions and millions of copies. Everybody like wants these book rights.
And notoriously, if you sell the rights to your book, you have no power.
Right.
Like, you're basically giving it up for other people to creatively. But Colleen is in a very privileged position.
And right. I feel like she has choices. She could have made demands, but it doesn't seem like she's, I don't know, not that she hasn't care about the movies, but she kind of like just trusts the process, and I don't know that she should, but let's reserve judgment till August.
That's true. We're saying these are, you know, strong words, and we've never seen a lick. We saw actually this week they released a couple of new photos, stills from the movie. It looks just as crazy. Like, it's, she looks like Brave
Merida, Princess Merida, yeah,
Merida. Like, it just isn't giving what we all visualize. And now people are like, well, if you read the book you would know. Great. She is like artsy fartsy, and
we
she
all
does
read
have
the book.
Sort of,
that's yeah, not like, what we visualized.
Thank you.
Well, but I'll see you in August. Like, I'm gonna stop like trashing it until August.
I agree,
unless I like have to because it's a story or something, you know.
Yeah, unless your job requires it of you.
Yeah, but I'm excited. Verity is probably my favorite Colleen Hoover book. Not a hot take. It's so good.
Not a hot take.
Everybody loves it.
Yeah.
So much they could do with it. I hope that it is an instant classic.
It's also, I think, the most different of her books. A lot of her books follow like similar tropes, you know, damsel in distress energy. This one's very thriller while still having that classic Colleen Hoover romance, but it is kind of like a crazy mystery.
Yeah, it could be spooky. The next Gone Girl if done right.
1,000% by the way. I think in terms of actually making a good movie, this is a better book for a movie than It Ends With Us. It Ends With Us just was the obvious choice because it was a more popular book.
Yeah. And already, like, millions of people are going to watch a movie because they love the book. So it'll be good regardless. It'll be successful regardless. Sorry. But, yeah. Like, an iconic movie. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, those were actually amazing stories, by the way. I enjoyed them a lot today. And pretty dece for a Thursday.
T.Y. had some food news that got the boot at the last minute.
Honestly, TGFT. Thank God for that.
Yeah, I just wasn't in the mood to let you know where you could get a free Krispy Kreme donut today.
Oh my, how does Krispy Kreme seriously like keep the lights on? They're always giving out free donuts.
Maybe that's why you got to spend money to make money.
I also want to say I've ended up on Crumble Cookie Talk. Do you know about Crumble Cookie?
No.
It's like the new Insomnia. It's like super trendy. People love it. And it's different because they drop 6 cookies a week, different flavors. And it's like, I don't know if you can get just like a chocolate chip there every time, but they have 6 big cookies and people do taste testing every week. And it's like in this pink cute box. They look so fucking good. It has been on my list. I need to. Maybe we'll do it mukbang style for the Patreon.
Love
next
that.
Time I'm with you.
Well, where do you get them?
There are locations everywhere.
Cool.
I bet there's one near you.
I'm still on Crumbs, you know?
Crumbs?
Yeah, that cupcake shop. What was it called?
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I just thought it was so good. Like, why did it have to
I
go?
Agree. They actually recently made a return, and they're kosher. They were always kosher, by the way.
Yeah, why do they need to be not?
Well, why does anything need to be not unless you're, like, serving pork?
Yeah, or gelatin.
Yeah, no, but Crumbs was like a New York City Jewish community staple because they did have a heksher.
Slay.
Slay. I'm starving, so thanks for that. Love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast of the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We are also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places you have listened to podcasts. Find us at Toast of the Five Star Review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Have an amazing day, you guys.
Love ya. Bye.